Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Welcome to this edition of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everybody.
We are with Bishop Ben this evening.
He had a sad day.
It's a sad day. He had to deal with some family issues, so not be joining us tonight. But tonight we're going to talk about Lent. We're just about smack dab in the middle of the Lenten season, and I think it's a good time to kind of talk about, if you haven't already started working to do something for Lent, it's a good time as any, I guess. We already had Ash Wednesday, but we all brought our ashes to church. We got our ashes to church, and we started cleaning the Lent out of the laundry room.
That's right.
So it's not that good.
Right.
So we painted a few people with ashes. Now we're at a point where everybody is beginning to feel the illness of fish on Friday. If you're not a seafood fan like myself, it's a true penance to have to eat fish on Friday. But we're going to talk about some other things you can do for Lent, and of course, kind of talk about what we're looking at spiritually in our sermons and in our series. Both Reverend Mark and I are doing a different series during Lent, and so we'll talk a little bit about that and what our focuses have been. How you can best participate in that. So, Reverend Mark, why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about the series that you're doing at the MCC for Lent?
Am I doing one? I don't know. I do enjoy Lent, the season of Lent. Raised in my tradition, we didn't observe Lent. We did very little to focus on the need to recognize our humanity needs as much Jesus as possible. I was talking to somebody about that today. We were very focused on getting to heaven and then, just having good services as opposed to focusing and allowing the Spirit of God to direct us and to be a little bit more like Jesus.
Right.
So I've enjoyed, when I came into the MCC tradition, of course I knew what Lent was, but never observed it. And I came into the MCC church. We practice Lent regular and a meaningful time. My sermon series, it was a bit of a, I scrapped my sermon series following just before Ash Wednesday, and I've really been focusing on the person of Jesus and the life of Jesus. It may sound super simplistic, but especially coming out of my tradition, focus a lot on Christ died, was buried, rose on the third day, and I'm not putting that down by any stretch of the means, but what I'm saying is, are we taking a look at how Christ lived? Because how Christ lived tells us how we're supposed to live. I mean, it's basic stuff. I know that, but when we look around at the world right now, we just can't take anything for granted. Because there's a lot of folks that are not living after Jesus, and they're trying to claim the badge of being a Christian. And although I'm not the judge, the works that they're allowing to flow from their heart and their mind, and the words they're saying are a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit far. They're far from the who Jesus is and who Jesus lived as. And you think because Jesus is up in heaven, his opinion on how he lived has changed or something. No, he still thinks the same way. And taking a look at that person and asking the question, do we believe in Jesus? Not just do we believe that the person existed, but do we believe in Jesus? As in, do we believe in the works that he demonstrated before us, demonstrated before the disciples and so many? Do we believe in that Christ? And taking a real hard look at that and saying, how does my life look in comparison? So I'm just really analyzing that in some of my messages last Sunday. I have no idea what I preached. Completely came off my notes and just shot from the hip. But that's kind of been my focus. I feel like that's my draw, where I need to be.
Very good. And it was a good sermon last Sunday. It was titled, Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up? Please stand up.
Yeah. That's what I call vegetable soup. It was just a little bit of everything. It was good stuff.
We've been at St. Francis, our parish, we've been focusing on how to be a resisting church. And, part of that has been looking at the teachings of the Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Two good choices.
That's right. And how we can stand up against the issues that we face every day in our world. We can resist temptation, how we can transform our lives, and how we can work to better the world around us in the face of some of the hatefulness and ignorance that exists right now. And so that has been our big focus over the last few weeks. I think I've got one more Sunday after this one of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and then I get into MLK's sayings the last few weeks of Lent. So that's been a little bit of an inspiration. For those that don't know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer lived during the reign of fascism in Germany, ended up in a concentration camp, but died at the end of the war. It was just a few days from the camp being liberated when he was executed. And so it's been an interesting book, because a lot of the stuff he says very much applies to our situation today. And one of the quotes that I'm posting daily Lenten quotes throughout Lent on social media, and quote from this coming Thursday, Bonhoeffer tells Christians that they're too busy seeking power, too busy seeking money, too busy, seeking recognition, and not enough time taking care of the poor, taking care of the marginalized and the abused. And so I think that's very poignant given our current situation in the United States and worldwide. It's becoming a worldwide epidemic in Christianity, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of forget teachings of Jesus and instead try to follow after power and authority. So that's what we're doing. Lent is, of course, the 40 days preceding Easter. And it's a time of preparation and anticipation, mostly preparation, as we try to prepare our hearts for the coming of the resurrected Jesus on Easter. And so a lot of faith traditions talk about, you know, doing away with eating meat on Fridays or things of that nature. But there's also another message that typically gets overlooked in Lent, and that is part of our Lenten process is not just fasting, but it's prayer and almsgiving as well. And so many people forget that. When I was growing up, we used to do these little boxes that looked like a carry-out box from one of the Chinese restaurants.
Yeah.
And it had a little slit in the top, and you put all your coins in there, your change in there. And at the end of Lent, you would take it on Easter Sunday to the church, and they would, you know, tally it all up and cash it in and send the money to, you know, foreign relief aid, such as, you know, aid organizations providing food and housing to people in poor areas of the world. And so that was one of the things we did when I was growing up. You don't see that as often anymore in churches, as it used to be. But I think it's still very much a worthwhile program, and it's something that we're planning to do next year for our Lenten process, is to offer those little boxes and to have a particular outreach that we're going to fund with that money. And so it's important, I think, for us to do those types of things, because it also reminds us that part of Lent is helping to care for those most in need around us.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we, Lent's a lot about denying self and our selfish ambitions and saying, you know, how does the life of Christ and what I'm living right now, do those measure up? Do those look the same, or are they different? And it can be a very difficult place to be, to step back and realize that sometimes I'm missing it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm giving in to my, you know, unguarded emotions. I'm letting my mouth say just whatever, and letting the depths of my heart wander into, you know, again, my selfish ambitions, and forgetting the people around us. You know, God, you know, Jesus was, I think we often miss this idea. Jesus was very much about community. He started off his ministry by being baptized and alone. Of course, there's others there, but he came alone and was baptized by John the Baptist. Went into the wilderness by himself, but when he emerged, he began to build community. He began to pull people, the disciples and others, to follow him, and then he began to interact with people and community. His first thing was not to raise an army or try to seize power or try to gain wealth. His first thing was to give compassion, to pull people in and say, all right, let me show you how to live, and to live a life, not just, oh, this is the way I need to do it. To live a life that's fulfilling, because when we begin to help others and we begin to bless others, we have that sense of we're filled. And I believe that that's the Spirit of God, or the check mark in our spirit to say, yeah, you're on the right path. You're doing something. Some people may say, well, that's just self-gratification. But knowing that on the inside, I did what was right and righteous, to me, that's a huge thing. And
saying, okay, does this measure up to the acts of how Jesus, what Jesus did in the world? And Lent is that season that we pause and we ask those questions. You know, I started off the Lenten season with, you know, God can handle our questions. I know you've preached on that a good bit. God's big enough to handle our questions. And we start micro, you know, with ourselves. And then, you know, we can move outward and say, okay, am I doing something right? Am I doing what's righteous and goodly? And then am I a part of a church? Or am I part of a group that's doing the same thing? Then we can move out further. You know, right now, the further out you look, the more maybe disheartened you become by seeing things in other churches or other people. And then you have to hone back in and say, okay, is my heart right? You've got to start there first. You know, is my heart right? You know, in the book of 1 Peter, it tells us that judgment comes to God's house first. In other words, God looks inward first, and that should be our model, is that I look inward first instead of looking outward. I look inward and say, okay, what does the heart look like? Is it full of a lot of darkness? Is it full of a lot of, is it wounded? Does it have a lot of scars? Does it have a lot of things I'm burying? What does my heart look like? And, you know, those may not be tough questions for God, but they're tough questions for us. And then out of that, some of our questions may be, quote-unquote, tough in our minds towards God. God can handle it. You know, am I the person, am I your child that is living the way you want me to? Not am I your child, and that's it. Yes, we're God's children, but am I living how the Bible is telling me to? You know, you were talking about a lot of churches seeking power. One of our first scriptures to start Lent was out of Isaiah 58, where the nation was chastised for reaching for just those things, wanting to have enmity towards different people, striking each other, and not focusing in on the least among us and those that God desires to touch. And we have to say, hey, how do I stack up with that? Do I look more like that scripture, or do I look less like that scripture that's, you know, tells me that I need to, you know, feed hungry, be kind to those that are homeless, so on and so forth.
Right, absolutely. And I think that it's important that we also remember, in that looking in process, the other part of Lent is prayer.
Yes.
You know, and part of our self inventory is asking God to show us how He sees us. You know, how does God look at us? How does God see us, and where we stand at that moment? And that's one of the big prayers during Lent for me is, you know, Lord, show me how you see me. You know, where am I on the spectrum? Where should I be? And where am I now?
Right.
And help me to make that interior change, to grow, to become closer to you and closer to those around me. In a lot of respects, I think, too, we forget that everyone is created in the image of God. And as such, when we're with someone, we are standing in the presence of God. And because there's a spark of that divine in each of us. And so when someone is, cussing out the person in the shopping center checkout line, they're cussing out God, you know, because they're dishonoring that spark of the divine within them.
Yes.
And so it's important for us to keep that in mind as well. And to focus on, you know, like I said in the beginning, it isn't just about getting rid of stuff. Sometimes it's about adding things into our our daily walk. You know, very maybe much. It's setting aside time to read scripture or read the early church fathers or some spiritual devotion that we do every day. Maybe it's setting aside time to pray every day, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day just to stop and pray. Or even 10, 15, 20 minutes to stop and meditate, just sit in silence. And
yeah.
That's the moments when we allow God to speak to us, is when we're willing to be silent and listen. I'm reminded of the story of Elijah, you know, and he sat and he listened for God in the earthquake and he didn't hear anything. And he listened for God in the hurricane.
Yep.
He didn't hear anything. And yep. It was in the still small whisper of wind, the still small voice that came in silence, that he heard God. And, you know, especially in our society today, we are so busy running from pillar to post, doing all kinds of things, that we don't take time to just stop and be silent. Stop and reflect. Stop and be thankful for the things around us.
Oh, yeah.
And so because of that, we miss out on hearing the voice of the divine, the voice of God, because we don't take those times to be still and listen. As scripture says, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah. You know?
And it's that we need to do on a regular basis. The neat thing about Lent being 40 days is that if you start a practice at the beginning of Lent, by the end of Lent, if you have been faithful with that practice, it has now become a habit.
Right.
You know, psychologists have said that for a long time. If you can do something for 40 days, by the end of it, it will become a habit. And so it's an opportunity to form good and healthy habits through Lent, not just a time to get rid of things. I know a lot of people who get rid of chocolate or ice cream or sodas.
Hey, back off the ice cream.
That's all well and grand. I mean, if you want to do that, I'm not gonna harsh your mellow there, but you know, that only goes so far. You know, spiritual mortification is good, especially if the spirit is wayward. The spirit is going a different direction than it should be. Then you know, self mortification is a good thing, but sometimes the better part of valor is adding in good practices.
Definitely. I've always been a person that believes that if you allow the goodness of God to come into your life, it will help push out that which doesn't belong. You know, light dispels the darkness.
Absolutely.
And you know, when we're giving ourselves over to those goodly things, when we're giving ourselves over to those thoughts, they're contrary to what we're seeing around us. And, you know, we're very much a people are, you know, we like to kind of go with, you know, path of least resistance, you know, go with the flow, go with the way the river's going. And it's hard to sometimes step back and say, no, I kind of need to steer life. I need to embrace balance. I need to, you know, just because the wind's blowing in a particular direction and everybody's opinion is that way, doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. I was telling a friend lately, I said, you know, just because there's droves of people attending a particular thing doesn't mean that they're attending the righteous thing. Doesn't mean that it's got the good, it's got the heart. As we see through history, sometimes society and population groups of people and a large number of people out of a population can want a particular thing that's detrimental to them.
Right.
We see that in reading of the Old Testament, where Israel demanded a king and God didn't want to do that. And so there are things that we need to be cautious that, you know, just because it's unique for you just because you are maybe called to give something up or to do something a little different than other people, doesn't necessarily mean that it's in error. You know, I'm not saying just because a large group of people doing something is automatically wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But don't just do something out of because it's the popular thing to do. Right. You can give up everything that you know, all the stuff, and you don't ever look inward and ask God to minister to your heart and to show you those things that need to change. You can give up anything you want. At the end of the 40 days, you're not going to be any different.
That's right.
You know, you can, you know, if you're looking for the trophy of, well, I gave stuff up, and then, you know, you're happy about that. Well, good for you. You gave something up. You know, maybe your body is happy that you gave up all that sugar or ice cream or whatever. Ice cream would be a very hard thing for me to do. But if that's the only goal that you have, you've accomplished nothing. You've wasted time. But it should be in conjunction. You know, you replace that thing consuming you with, you know, God, you know, consume me with love, consume me with patience and grace and mercy. You know, patience part is something we often don't like to pray, but it pays dividends for us throughout life. You know, God, you know, just overwhelm me with your spirit so that I know who to be a helping hand to. So I can speak truth and love and so on. Just giving something up, like you said, doesn't, you know, that's not all Lent's about. It's also embracing those things that need to come towards me and within me. You know, the law of recognition. What do I need in my life? What do I need to let out of my life? And what are some things that I need to, you know, hold on to? Because ours, you know, we're not all terrible people. There are some good things inside of us.
That's right.
We need to grow and cultivate those things. So it's a perfect time to do it if we'll just do it.
That brings me to the next point. Nice segue there. And that is, it is a good time to reflect too upon what we're taking in and what we need to get rid of as far as messaging and the people that we have in our lives and the organizations we're a part of. And,
right.
You know, especially, you know, speaking as a Christian, church. You know, church is a big area to look at. You know, if you're in a church that is essentially preaching a message that is, you know, contrary to what you feel should be taught, you know, teaching you to hate people or to hate certain groups of people or to mistreat them or to alienate them or to marginalize them, then Lent's a great opportunity to take a look at that.
Yes.
A friend of mine posted on Mastodon earlier today that they typically go to Mass on Saturday evening at 4 o'clock p.m. To the Mass of Anticipation on Saturday evening. And they had also been to a Ukraine war protest earlier in the day, had a big button on their jacket, you know, calling for an end to the oppression of the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And, you know, she thought about taking it off before going into Mass. And that's when it dawned on her, if the people around her don't support that cause, don't support, you know, stopping the oppression of Russia against the Ukraine, then does she really want to be there?
Right. Yeah.
So she was going to go ahead and wear it, you know, and see, you know, are these people that are actually supporting saving lives and protecting a sovereign nation or not? And if they're not, then she needs to find a new place to call her church home. And I think that that's an important thing during Lent as well, is to consider what messages we're allowing in.
Yeah.
Especially what we're allowing to take root in our lives. Because so many Christians today have been fooled into this divisive, hateful, bigoted messaging that is pervasive in our country today. And they hear it not only on the news, but then they go into the church on Sunday morning and they hear it from the pulpit.
Yeah.
You know, and as Reverend Mark and I both emphasize on a regular basis, the core of the gospel is not hate, it's love.
Yeah.
You know, that's the very core of the gospel message. That's the core of scripture, is that God loves us and we are to love others.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's not what you're hearing from the channels around you, from people around you, then it's time to use Lent as a time to say, okay, do I want to continue allowing those messages to come into my life and be part of my life?
Yeah. Where's my belonging? Where do I belong? Because, you know, if you're attending a church and that pastor is, you know, willfully supporting that the, you know, only present company is accepted at the table of right. Christ, then we've missed Jesus's purpose. You know, we've missed the reason of his coming. There's a place set at that table for all of us, because we belong at that table. And I'm referring, of course, to the table of Christ, where we receive the body and the love of Christ, the body and the blood of Christ. And Jesus set that precedent for us to come and to receive. And I was watching a TikTok today of a young man who is Christian and also gay. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the moment he realized that he belonged at the table of Christ and that there was a place for him there. You know, I try to emphasize, and I know Bishop does the same thing during their service, that that table is a place of belonging. It's an invitation to fellowship. And no, we don't have to receive communion only at the table that's in the middle of the sanctuary of the church you go to. That is it's a message for us and a reminder each and every time we gather that we, one, are invited, because two, there's a place for us, and three, there's a place for us because we belong. And God wants that fellowship on the regular with us. You know, there were no restraints on, well, you can only receive communion on, you know, these particular times. It says as often as you drink and receive from this table. So there's some people, they practice receiving communion every day in some faiths, and some people, you know, twice a year. Right. And then there's the rest of us in between. And so I think it's important for us to remember that the grace of God compels us to come and to have that fellowship. And particularly during Lent, we embrace that fellowship. And sometimes we hear the Spirit nudging us in directions that may be a bit uncomfortable. You know, hey, you should tame your mouth. You should be a little bit more compassionate when you do X, Y, Z. Or, you know, there's a better place for you to worship where I've called you to, where I'm calling all people to come and to receive, not just those that look like you or sound like you or as educated like you, because Jesus was opening his heart from people that weren't only oppressed individuals or people that were shunned, but also he all opened his heart and love to people that did the oppressing, to hopefully show them what true love and compassion look like. So I think it's so important for us to examine those moments and say, you know, am I connected with things that are also reflecting Christ's love?
Certainly. And like I've said many times before at Mass, you know, the only people excluded from this table are the people Jesus himself would exclude, which is nobody.
Yep.
You know, I believe our readings this Sunday are the ones that I've read, both the ones from MCC and the ones from ours, because they're different again.
But I think it's ours this Sunday that have the story of the prodigal son.
Yeah, we're different.
And the beginning of that, Jesus is asked a question. And basically, it's a question of, you know, who do I exclude? You know, these people are sinners over here. Should they be excluded from my, from our religious practice, from our status? And Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son, showing that, you know, he went out and he threw away everything that he was inherited and was living in a pigsty, eating the food of pigs, when he wakes up and realizes he should go back to his father and plead for his father's mercy, and maybe his father will let him be a servant. Because at least as a servant, he'd have food to eat and a place to stay and all of that. And, of course, he goes and finds that the father not only accepts him back as a son, but throws a feast for him and everything. And the older son, who is considered the good and faithful son, you know, comes along and he's like, what are you doing? You don't even let me have parties with my friends. And you're throwing this party for this slacker, this sloucher who went out and, you know, squandered his inheritance and he probably smells and everything else at this point. And and the father says, we're celebrating because what was lost, what was once lost is now found. You know, and that's the message of the church, is that we're supposed to be out there looking for the lost, at least the lost and the forgotten, as we say. And those are the people that we're supposed to seek and welcome with open arms into our midst, because it's them that the table is set for.
Yeah.
You know, as Jesus said, the well don't need a physician. Sick need a physician. And so the table is set for all of us, but in particular for those that are in most need of God's love and grace.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because one of the our reading out of Isaiah 55, it tells us if you don't have money, if you're thirsty and you can't afford, come drink and buy and receive. And that is the message that God wants us to know about the divine, but also that God wants us to work that through ourselves, that there are times that, you know, the first step is the message for us is we don't have anything that we can offer to pay that is going to unlock God's grace for us. It's already unlocked. It's already there for us. God's mercy is already there for us. There's nothing we can do. It's there. But also to have that as part of our life, that, you know, folks don't have to measure up into a certain category or to be able to benefit us in a certain way in order for us to offer them what God's placed inside of us, whether it's substance, whether it's, you know, literal money to help them out, or whether it's just our presence of being there and being open to listen, creating a safe space for them to come and to share their heart. That's all of that is who we're supposed to be. There's sometimes in life that we're people brought across our path that they can do nothing for us and we're supposed to pour into them. We're not supposed to look for a return on that investment. This is, you know, it's not the stock market. Which is very contrary for us as a society, because especially over here in America, we're very capitalistic. You know, yes. If I put something in, what am I getting out? You know, what am I getting out of this? What's in it for me? And there are times that we have to fight against our nature to say, I'm pouring into somebody because it's just the right thing to do, whether they can repay me or not. And that's hard for some people, because some people, they expect all the accolades, you know, well, I did this and I did that and I, you know, I'm racking up those spiritual points. And it's like, you know, are you doing it? You're doing it for the wrong reason. You want applause.
Right.
And God wants you to do it just because it's righteous. It's holy. Right. It's grace and it's graceful. You know, are we adopting the... Are we adopting the personality and the mindset of the divine in our lives? Are we just, you know, ever when it's convenient for us? Are we doing it when it's convenient for us? Or are we doing it on the regular? Now, I can't come to the same level that Jesus did,
right,
of giving out mercy, of giving out grace. But I can do with the capacity that I do have, what little I do have, that my nature is taking on as much of God as possible and just blessing others just to do it, just because. And sometimes kindness is, I mean, that's all somebody needs, is just to know that they're accepted and welcomed. You don't have to buy them a car. I mean, they'd probably appreciate it, but
right.
But
well, unless it's a Cybertruck.
Right. Yeah. Oh Lord, whole another bag of worms open there.
Right.
But and you know, sometimes people with loads of money and can buy anything they want find themselves the most lonely among us. And they just simply want people to invest that time. And time's the most precious commodity we all have, because we don't get any of it back.
On that note, St. Thomas Merton said, it is not our job to decide whether someone is worthy. It is our job to love.
One of my favorite quotes.
You know, and I love Thomas Merton, and that's a very poignant quote from him. This past week, just to share this story, because I think it goes to the heart of this too. Somebody on Wednesday stopped me, and they're like, Pastor, I really feel I need to give this to you. And they handed me a $50 bill. I'm like, what's this for? And I say, I don't know. God, you'll know when the time is right. Okay. So I put it in my wallet and promptly forgot about it. And then Thursday, I was coming out of the church, and a gentleman that I've been trying to help get transportation back to Houston, Texas, it's a veteran, approached me, and he said, Pastor, I went and I talked to the VA, and they told me that, you know, since all the cuts and stuff have been going on, they can't give me a voucher back to Houston. And I said, well, okay. So I said, well, how much is the bus ticket? He said, it's $42. And it was at that moment that $50 bill came back to mind.
There you go.
And I pulled it out and I handed it to him. And he stood there and cried, gave me a big hug, and cried, thanked me. He wanted to give him a card so he could send me back, you know, the money when he got back to Houston. And I said, no, just go with God's blessing, you know. And so it's times like that, it's things like that that are part of this Lenten practice we're talking about.
That's
and
right.
When it becomes a habit, is something we do in our daily lives.
That's right. You know,
somebody heard the voice of God say that I needed that money for a reason. And then the very next day, God brought that reason into my path.
Yep.
And I was there to be able to help them. And that's so right. It's about being obedient sometimes to listening to that small voice, whether we call it our conscience or our gut instinct or the divine, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It is that instinct that we need to listen more to, especially during our Lenten practice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I come out of a background that heavily emphasized Holy Spirit. And, you know, it would go to an extreme. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell me when it's time to go to the grocery store and all that stuff. And, you know, I think there are times that we're stopped to avert problems. Right. I'm not saying that isn't the case, but there should be no, oh, I need to hear the voice of God about being kind to people. There should be, oh, I need to hear the voice of God about loving somebody. That's already been taught to us.
That's right.
How much more do we have to hear from the examples of Jesus, whom we claim to have faith in? How much more do we have to hear and read and to remind ourselves that in all situations we should be filled with God's grace towards other people?
Right.
You know, I don't have to hear the Holy Spirit telling me be graceful to folks. That's not what that's for. But in those instances, like you're saying, there are times in our life where there are unique moments that we're used to help solve a unique need in people. And you know, I've seen that happen in my life countless times. I've had it happen to me countless times. You know, my first instinct is to want to help others and to give to others. Sometimes I have a difficult time receiving blessings from other people.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh, I'm fine. You know, let's bless somebody else. Sometimes God just wants you to know that you're loved and seen. And that's good too. But all in all of those moments, God's Spirit can move us in the directions that answers those basic needs of that person needed to be seen. They needed for whatever reason to get back where they are. Like you said, it's not up to us to find out, are you worthy of God's love? It's just to release it in that moment, say, you know, here's God's love.
Right. Absolutely. And that might have been the only compassionate moment that that man had for the day.
That's
you
right.
know, he had been living on the streets for a couple of weeks since he had gotten here. And his treatment had gotten delayed at the VA, which is very common. And he was living on the streets because of it. You know, people look down on those that live on the streets.
Yeah.
You know, they view it as a moral or ethical shortcoming in the person that put them there. So sometimes that's just not the case. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, situations colluded to put them there.
They didn't get the right help at the right time.
Right. And so, you know, it's our job to be the divine's hands and heart and eyes to all those people around us. To support and love them as much as we can. Your final thoughts, Reverend Mark?
Embrace the grace. Embrace the good. Again, the light of Christ will shine in those areas and drive out those things. As Bishop said several times tonight, it's not all about what we're giving up. It's what are we allowing in to take out or to take up those spaces and fill those places in our heart that have been evacuated by those issues or those challenges or those things that needed to go in the first place. You know, we're supposed to be vessels that are emptied and poured out. Sometimes we're emptied and poured out of things that are detrimental to us or others. And we should allow God's love and grace to pour in so that it floods us and it overflows onto everybody else. So ask yourself, you know, God, what needs to go, and fill me with what I need to remain.
In honor of Bishop Ben, I'll say, I think you said that perfectly. I don't know if I can add anything to it.
You can say it.
we do miss Bishop Ben tonight.
Absolutely.
Our backup producer, Pumpkin, is not doing her job very well.
She's very, very observing us.
She's just observing, yes. I think that, as I've said before, you know, Lynn is a perfect opportunity for us to create good and healthy habits.
Yes.
Time for us to look inward and then outward. Look inside at what needs to be changed, how we might better protect ourselves, and then to go out and do things to help others, raise them up, build them up with love and compassion and kindness. So hopefully that will help you in your Lenten process, and your progress forward. Next Saturday, I don't have a topic yet, but we'll come up with something in the interim. And maybe Bishop Ben will have some amazing topic he gets done with his family.
I think Bishop Ben should carry the weight since
right.
they were absent this week.
Right, absolutely. But we'll be back next Saturday for our next exciting podcast when we once again attempt to expand your faith. Till then, keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/expandingyourfaith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.